Welcome to the Space Show, Peter.
Thank you.
How did it go last night?
Oh, it was incredible. It was incredible.
And what were you looking for?
Well, we going into this, we had worried tremendously that the capsule would be so close to the bus that it would be very hard to differentiate, and we would be sort of having to sift through the rubble of the bus to find the capsule.
Yes.
Instead, we saw that the capsule was very nicely displaced from the bus, and when the bus broke into 1,000 pieces, the capsule just kept going and going and did its thing. And so we got fantastic data on both the bus breakup and the performance of the capsule's heat shield. So this was an incredible success.
Now, for those people who haven't been following the mission, what was Hayabusa?
Hayabusa was a JAXA space mission, which was designed as a technology demonstration to do a number of things, mostly to go to an asteroid, to land on the asteroid and collect a sample, and to then bring it back to Earth so that scientists could study that sample and make a link between meteorites that we find on the Earth, rocks from asteroids, and the asteroids where they come from. So we have some 40,000 meteorites in our collections, but none of which we know where they originate. And the asteroids in space have sort of a sunburn, and they're covered by regolith, by dust, which make them look different. And so it's really hard to make these links between the rocks in hand and the asteroids in space. This mission was designed to provide that connection. And so critical is that it brings back a sample. And so we're all hoping that now the capsule has been recovered, it will be opened, and there will be a small sample in there. Even if it's not, tonight's re-entry itself was incredibly valuable, because it was only the second field test of a thermal protection system under these sort of circumstances that we could study in detail. 2 years ago, it's now 4 years ago, we had the return of the Stardust capsule. We got to observe how that capsule came into the Earth's atmosphere, and the heat shield was recovered, and we could see how well it had performed. And by observing the fireball, we could determine how hot the capsule became, how much carbon came off, how much light was being produced in the shockwave that heats the surface. And so we could measure the physical conditions that this heat shield had to endure when it came into the atmosphere. And this case would be the second. So if the heat shield is also recovered, and I, as of this time, I have not heard yet if that has indeed occurred, but we are expecting that they will be able to find back the heat shield, then we can use our data to determine what the conditions were during the reentry.
So the two things you were looking at was the main spacecraft body and a capsule which detached from that body just before re-entry.
Exactly, yes. The little sample of the capsule was put into a capsule which protects the sample from the tremendous heating that occurs when the capsule hits the atmosphere. The capsule moves at incredible speed. It goes from here at Tullamarine Airport in Melbourne to the center of Melbourne in just about a second and a bit. And so it's an incredible speed, and it has to lose that speed by hitting the atmosphere and by slowing down by air collisions. And so the result is that the surface gets very, very hot, over 3,200 Kelvin. And so the purpose of the heat shield is to prevent that heat from penetrating into the capsule and destroying the sample. Now, the bus itself, the main spacecraft, of course, was not protected, and you could see on the videos what happens if that's the case. The bus broke into thousands of pieces. And there were all sorts of interesting phenomena happening. We saw little bits fly off left and right. We saw various fluids and gases being released. We saw interesting fragments that had different spectral properties that looked reddish in color, that looked green in color. And so all those, all that information gives us insight into how the capsule broke during the reentry. And that's really interesting, because sort of the basic physical processes of mechanical stresses and thermal stresses we don't understand yet completely. And so this observation was incredible. We saw the spacecraft break, and we saw the capsule survive and bring its sample back to the Earth.
Why did you need to observe it from a DC-8 aircraft? Why couldn't you do this from the ground?
Well, it turned out that you could do this from the ground because the weather was clear. Well, yesterday the weather was not clear. So we were flying over the clouds and we would have had a good view of it irrespective of the weather. Not only that, when you fly at altitude, looking from the airplane to the capsule gives a very nice, clean line of sight. There is no water vapor to speak of. There is very little dust. And so we can quantitatively measure the light output from these processes. And that's very hard to do on the ground.
Now, Christina was telling us that her instrument was able to split the light from the re-entering spacecraft into a spectrum, into its different colors. And she told us the advantage of doing that. Did that work?
It did. I was very happy to hear that because Christina had a lot of problems with recording her data, but this time around it actually worked, and she got beautiful data sets where the light was distracted in the colors. You can see from the capsule the continuum radiation, and then through flight you can follow that and you can see how it changes, and that information tells us how the temperature of the capsule changed during flight. And so it's going to be very exciting. She has also very nice data on how the bus broke up and all the rapid sudden variations in brightness and breakup events that occur, little flashes that were seen throughout the event. And so she's incredibly happy at the moment.
This re-entry is one of the fastest ever in the history of spaceflight, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Only the Stardust capsule was just a tad faster. This thing was so fast because the orbit didn't come back from low Earth orbit, or not even back from the moon. It came back from interplanetary space. This thing was in an orbit around the sun. So when it hit the Earth, it really hit with the speed of an asteroid impact, when you would have a natural a meteor or fireball in the sky.
So when do you leave Melbourne?
Oh, unfortunately, it's a very brief visit. We are already leaving tomorrow morning. We are here with a large group of people, and so it's for us very expensive to stay a day longer. We would have loved to. I'm sneaking off in just a few minutes to go and to St. Kilda, and I'm hoping to see the penguins. That would be my visit to Melbourne. I hope to come back one day and see more of the city. I really do.
And when you get back to America, what will you be doing with the data that you've got?
Oh, there is a tremendous amount of work ahead. All the data is currently in video formats, in digital files. All that needs to be extracted, and we need to get all that information on what different metals were radiating, what continuum emission there was, what air plasma emissions there were, what materials came off the heat shield. All that data needs to be extracted from the images we have. There is a process of 3D reconstruction, what went on, and so it's going to be a few years before all of this has been processed.
Well, I hope it all goes well for you then.
Thank you very much.